Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
I mean, there were no marks on the baby.
Now, what is emergency?
Hello, yeah, please on Tillman Bridge.
The Constitution gives us freedom of religion.
Well, I think another site would be a better idea.
I forgot he was black tonight.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And remember,
I forgot he was black tonight.
Every night here, we got our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Let me say that again.
I forgot he was black tonight.
philhendryshow.com for all of your radio needs. Our archives wide open, our video cast wide open. We've got archived animated features, got our news feed. We got it all, baby. We got our podcast, three different kinds of podcasts. And, of course, our daily podcast of this show, downloadable and available each and every day, and a five-day archive of our video cast. People are saying, hey, do you have a deeper archive of the video cast? It's a pretty big file, but we do keep select video casts. And one of the things we're going to start doing is turning into a podcast, our pre-show. For those of you who are just listening on radio and you've yet to discover our backstage pass, we have an entire hour that we do before the show from 9 to 10 Pacific, from 11 to, what is that, from midnight to 1, right, bud?
Let me, hold on for a minute. What time is it now?
There's the clock.
12:06 p.m.?
In any event, p.m. I've got it, okay?
No, 12:06 a.m.
Yes. In any event, from 12 to 1 a.m. Is our pre-show. So check it out. That's East Coast. Check it out, philhendryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard joining us here for our news hour. This story has so many different twists and turns and ways of approaching it. And I really want to be fair, and I think I am a fair guy. I think that people would agree, if you've listened to me over the years here on the show, I'm not a right-winger. I'm not a conservative. I'm not a liberal or a progressive, because I can't stand either group. But I am American, and here's the thing. This is not the Muslim thing that's going on right now. Like, I'll tell you what the story we're talking about is. This young lady here in California who was going to work for Disneyland, and she wants to wear her hijab, which is the headscarf, and she's now suing for discrimination, and she became a citizen in June, and now she immediately goes to Disneyland, and boom, let's go ahead and let's get that discrimination lawsuit going. Yeah. To me, that's very calculated, and there's something extremely cynical about it and very phony. And it's not a Muslim issue. It's not a religious issue. Wait a minute, Phil. What are you talking about? Because I can see you guys are looking curious, right?
Yeah, well, how come you say not? She want to wear a hijab, you know?
Now, but I'll tell you why. An American Muslim, like an American Catholic, like an American Jew, like an American Jane, like an American Dick and Jane, whatever, we understand that we have our religion and we also have our country. And, you know, probably America is the greatest representation of that line from the Bible that they tell us Jesus said. You know the one that he said?
Well, he said a lot of them.
No. What he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. I don't think there's ever been a country in the history of the world that does that as better than America. We render to Caesar, we render to God. And somehow we've been able to work it out. So this is not a Muslim issue. The hijab, this young lady at Disneyland, this is not about your religion, young lady. This is about your immigrant attitude. You're an immigrant to this country. You're an American citizen, but you're an immigrant. And the first thing you did, not as a Muslim, this is not a Muslim issue, is as a rather uneducated immigrant about the ways of our country, you're filing a lawsuit. One of the things that's very common in the world, extremely common in the world, is a general ignorance of American culture. People like to say that Americans are insular and never get out and never really get to know anything, and we really don't know jack crap about the world, and aren't we stupid? And that may be true, but something that's equally true is that the very same people that say that, they don't know a damn thing about this country. Not a damn thing. And I'm talking about some of the world's most powerful people. continually underestimate, overestimate, or don't read the United States worth a damn. And it continues up to this very day. Here's someone who is a 26-year-old woman claiming discrimination against Disneyland for sending her home for wearing her hijab, a Muslim symbol of faith, to work. Her name is Iman Bodul. She is a hostess at the Storyteller's Restaurant in Disneyland's Grand Californian Hotel, and she says she's not allowed to wear the headscarf while at work and has been sent home four times without pay. It is Disney policy that employees only wear clothing in public that is provided by the company. Bodul has worked at Disneyland for 2.5 years, but didn't try to wear the hijab to work until this past weekend. She's an immigrant from Morocco and has been in the United States for 5 years. She became a U.S. citizen in June. After being granted her citizenship, Bodul decided to challenge Disney's strict clothing rule. She says the U.S. Constitution grants everyone religious freedom, and that right applies in this case. The Constitution, she says, tells me I can be a Muslim and I can wear the headscarf. Who is Disney to tell me that I can't? Well, I'll tell you who they are. They are the mouse. I mean, that you don't know the things they can. No, I'm just kidding. So let's listen to a statement here from Iman Bodul talking to KTLA television here in Los Angeles about being sent home for wearing the headscarf.
I just decided to wear my headscarf and show up at work. Here I am at work, starting to work. And then after 3 hours, one of my managers called me and they said, well, Iman, you're not in compliance with Disney. Look, we have your hijab wasn't provided by Disney. Either you can work at the back or you go home.
Yeah. And that's kind of how it is. All right. Bodul filed a discrimination complaint with the U.S. Equal Opportunity Employment Commission on Wednesday in downtown Los Angeles. She arrived for work on Wednesday afternoon wearing her hijab, accompanied by members of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. A great many people have very strong feelings about this organization, CARE. There's a lot of people that don't think those guys care about anything other than being pains in the ass. Her manager gave her the option of working in an area out of public eye or going home without pay. Bodul chose to go home without pay, claiming it is a right to wear the scarf as part of her religious freedom, especially during the holy month of Ramadan. Disneyland officials said they were working to accommodate this pain in the, I mean, this young lady. She was fitted for a Disney-supplied headscarf, but was not given a date when the garment would be finished, and was told she couldn't wear her own hijab in the interim. We've been working directly with her on accommodation. In the interim, we offered reasonable accommodations to allow her to work during the scheduled shifts, which she declined. So Disney has developed something, and if you know anything about Disneyland, these people have made it it's almost like a new part of the company charter to be as accommodating as they can to everybody. I mean, gay night pretty much sums that one up, you know?
Yeah, I remember the gay night, but you don't have to look at that.
Well, what do you mean you don't have to look at that? I mean, only gay people are allowed?
Yeah, isn't that right?
I don't know. I just know that it's gay night. Gay folks can come in.
Yeah. So if you give me the heads up on gay night, I don't go. But I'm going to go and I got to see that. No, no, no. No, no, no.
Well, what is your problem with that, man? So you got a problem with her wearing the headscarf?
Yeah, just like you do.
I don't, you know, no, I don't. No, I don't. If Disney is satisfied that that the headscarf she's wearing complies with the company policy, what the company's trying to present to the public, because Disneyland is a theatrical presentation, then if Disney's fine, I'm fine.
No, wait. You saying Disney's going to let her wear a scarf? I thought they were not going to let her wear a scarf.
No, Disney's going to make one.
Disney's making a scarf, or they're fitting her for a Disney-supplied headscarf, one that would comply, that they feel would comport well with the way the rest of the people look. And if Disney's fine with that, I would be fine with that. And so, because you're dealing with a company here, of all the companies to sue, lady, I mean, these people have bent over backwards since time began to you know, try and accommodate people, you know?
Yeah, and when they give the heads up on gay night,
will you shut up about gay night, man? What is it with you?
I'm not homophobic. It's when I get the heads up.
Yeah, I'll bet you want the heads up.
What? Oh. All I'm saying is, when I'm going to have it.
So that you don't make the mistake of going there that night? Is that your trouble? God, bud.
Are you going to go?
I don't care. Yeah, I'll go. Especially if I go on gay night and there ain't that many people there. That means the lines are shorter. That means I get on a ride faster. Hell yeah, I'll go. But I don't know what they're going to let. I don't know how they work gay night.
Donna, you know what they do? They have a Muslim night. And that way she can put on a head, like a put on a beanie or whatever, and it won't be a problem.
They ain't going to have that. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, what are you talking about? If they have a gay night, why can't they have an Islam night?
They're not going to have an Islam night, man, because I don't know why they're not going to have an Islam night. They don't have a Catholic night, and they have the gay night because of the dancing thing. I think that's why they had that.
What?
I think they had gay night, and they continue to have gay night because guys dance together and women dance together, and it was bugging some of the heterosexuals.
You mean they didn't want to look at them do it?
Right. Guys like you. Okay, give me the heads up, man. It's a gay night. I ain't going to be there.
Well, it's not, I don't care. I'm not we call it homophobes, but
it's not like a virus homophobes, you know? It's homophobic. And yeah, that's what you are, because you're all bugged out.
No, I'm not.
You're all bumming about seeing gays dance. And no, they're not going to have a Muslim night, man, because it's different. Like, every day you're gay and every day you're Muslim, but for some reason, the gay people, they have to be segregated into their own night because they're dancing together, pisses off straight people. Well, guess what, man? If anybody screws up Disneyland, that pisses me off.
Well, man, that ain't like your religion or something.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's the closest to a religion I've ever had. I mean, I don't worship at the altar of Disney, but I don't want, if I go to Disneyland, I want it to be Disneyland. I don't want them bending over backwards, accommodating somebody so it looks like, it looks funky.
Well, how gonna look funky with a headscarf or something like that?
Okay, you know the Jungle Ride?
Yeah.
Well, what the hell, man? I mean, they're gonna have a chick running the Jungle Ride with a headscarf instead of that pith helmet? I don't know.
Yeah, but they could have her be like the Muslim, like, traitor or something.
I guess. I don't know. It seems kind of far out. Anyway, they have been working with her, and they say that they're trying to do the best that they can, and they don't know what the problem is. And this is just one of these situations. She's been here 5 years. She wants to wear a headscarf. She doesn't quite get it. Okay, wear your freaking headscarf. I mean, I don't think that woman understands this country. I don't think anybody understands this country if they are any kind of a person, native-born or immigrant, and they feel like something cultural or religious must be mandated, because it does not have to be mandated. The Constitution very clearly says you have religious freedom, but not to the extent that it interferes with the conduct of life everywhere else. You know?
But I just, if they put her like in a headscarf and they put her on a, I don't know.
Like, what about the ice cream cart?
I guess the ice cream cart. I don't know, man. I don't even want to think about it. You guys were talking about it's a small world. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show here. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Our email address. What is our email address? Well, you can email us by way of our website. That's right. Go to the website and hit email Phil, and boom, you email me. And we do have guaranteed email response to every email that we get over there. Ann Coulter gets into it with WorldNet Daily. What did we tell you guys a long time ago about WorldNet Daily? Well, Ann Coulter, she's finally getting a nose full of those guys. Coming up next, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Henry Show. Visit our website, philhenryshow.com. Get the podcast. All right. You know, just to show you, this Muslim thing, it ain't about party. It ain't about ideology. Because look at the people that are coming down in on the side of people that would rather we not see a mosque there right now, you know, at ground zero. I mean, if it's all the same, do you mind if we maybe put it somewhere else? Because it kind of bugs people. And I realize that, you know, it seems to be the agenda for some very, very activist people, whether they're Muslim or immigrant or both, to go ahead and just do whatever it is you feel you need to do, even if it offends people. Like this chick with the hijab, you don't have to wear that. There's nothing mandated in the Islamic religion that says you must wear that.
Nothing. Some countries, they wear it because it's part of the culture. And I think that that is this young lady's problem. She's from Morocco, where perhaps they wear it all the time. Well, in the States, we don't wear that. I mean, not every Muslim in America wears that. A lot of people do. Most of the women that you see who are wearing that in the States, they're immigrants or they are visiting from another country. American Muslims don't. So when you come here and you say you want to wear your hijab, so what are we talking about? Are you saying you need it for your religion? Bull crap. No, you don't. Why would you lie? Or maybe you feel like wearing that. Okay, that's cool. But guess what? It's not a mandated aspect of your religious wear. You just feel like wearing it. Well, just because you feel like something, man, it doesn't necessarily mean that that spills over into the rest of the world and everybody's got to move. That's not how it's played. That's not the way you interpret the Constitution. Give you an example. The Constitution says we have religious freedom, but you don't have the religious freedom to deny your child a blood transfusion. You don't have the religious freedom, like that one woman thought she had, to deny your child cancer treatment. You don't have the religious freedom to stop down and wash your feet or pray 86 times a day or whatever it is you got to do and interrupt the business of a business, necessarily. Interrupt the flow of someone's business. You don't have the religious freedom to do that. I don't have the religious freedom to take off during Lent and go do the Stations of the Cross every Bloody Friday. Maybe my boss will let me. Maybe he won't. Maybe we're too busy. Maybe we're not. But I got religious freedom to go to the Stations of the Cross on my own time. I got religious freedom to do all those things. So you don't have the religious freedom to say, Disney, you're going to have to change the way you do business because I've decided I want to wear something that is not necessarily mandated by my religion, but because I'm an immigrant from Morocco and I really want to kind of, you know, I'm going to make a big splash now that I'm here in the States. I think I'm going to want to do this. Get with it, man. Get educated. So anyway, she filed a suit. Now let's talk about the mosque, because now we're talking about something that is sort of feeds off of this. We're talking about, you know, the way we are in this country, who we are and how we feel. It's really weird. It's really weird to see some people that don't get it. And it's very, very strange and gratifying to see other people that do. For instance, President Obama, God bless him, thinks this is a constitutional argument. No, it's not. Nobody is denying that it is the constitutional right of those people to have a mosque if they want to have it at ground zero. No one's denying that at all. The people of New York were just polled. Over 70% are against this mosque, but none of them, or hardly any of them, think it's got anything to do with the Constitution. They recognize the constitutionality of it. What they're saying is a bad idea. The president alluded to it when he said it's not the smartest choice, but I support their constitutional right to do it. And it already shows how far behind the ball he is on this. We've already been through that discussion, man. We get it. And another thing, I'd like to say it's legal. Oh, well, great. Thank you, Mr. Attorney General. I thought you were the president. You know, Rance was saying before the show, he says he's not the Attorney General. He's our president. He's not the Attorney General. He's our president. He's the guy that speaks with his voice the sentiment of the American people. And it is this. It hurts, man. And we'd rather not see that right now. And I brought up the example of the flaming cross. It was a perfectly legitimate Christian symbol at one time, but we realize now we're not going to be running that bloody thing in front of the faces of black people because it's a hateful thing now. I'm not saying a mosque is a hateful thing. I am saying that for the time being, out of sensitivity to the American people, we think about somewhere else to stick that thing. Now, guess who is in our corner on this one? Well, I say our people that would agree with me. Harry Reid, the senator from Nevada. He didn't want the mosque there. Guess who else? Howard Dean. He didn't want the mosque there. This is not about right or left, Republican or Democrat. This is bad idea. It's a bad idea. And if you don't get it, if you don't get that, if you don't understand why people are opposed to that mosque, there's trouble in River City, man. And it starts with P and it ends with L, and that stands for pool. You got to understand that, especially if you're a president. You got to be able to articulate. They should say, we realize your constitutional right to this. You have to understand how the American people feel about this. If President Obama wanted to do something really good, he would articulate to the people who want to build that mosque, look, let me explain something to you guys, okay? We're not, nobody's saying you don't, you know, have the mosque. This is really sticking in the craw of the American people. It pisses them off, and here are the reasons. It's not because they're against Islam. It's because they're against what this symbolizes to them. And then meanwhile, you got Pelosi who wants to look into the funding of the opposition. It's like over 70% of the American people don't dig it. I don't know what that means, that you've got to look into the funding. I mean, some people get Social Security. I don't know what she means. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
Phil Henry.
Yeah!
All right, welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL. And Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along the way here. Obama has no regrets over Ground Zero Mosque remarks. Okay, you know, and that's all right. And then we have Nancy Pelosi, and of all the people that have spoken about this, she wants an investigation into Ground Zero Mosque opposition funding. This is madness. Not because that's necessarily a bad thing. Not because she's not showing responsibility, but it's the wrong thing to investigate. What? 70% of the American people, all the polls show a preponderance of opinion on one side. What the hell? It's a real political move, and it's, God, we don't need that stuff. Anyway, so we'll talk about that. And Howard Dean, who has weighed in on, you know what, not a good idea. I mean, I'll tell you, I don't, on any given day, this is what I mean, don't ever make your mind up about people. Don't ever make your mind up about people, because you never know who your ally is going to be. And Howard Dean is full of crap on a lot of things. But you know what? There's a lot of Republicans and right-wingers that are full of crap on a lot of stuff, too. But on any given day, those people just might be, hey, this guy agrees with me. You know?
Well, what about like Ted Bundy or something? That would never happen.
Ted Bundy?
You're talking about like people have an opinion.
Yeah, but you said on any given day that...
What do you mean Ted Bundy? A guy that's a killer? I'm talking about people that are... I'm talking about politics.
Yeah, well, that just means that you don't know necessarily.
About what? Yeah, okay. You mean Ted Bundy? I'm going to... That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Yeah, but don't you think he could agree with you?
Who?
Ted Bundy.
He's dead now, bud.
No, but if he's alive, he could agree.
I suppose Ted Bundy could agree with me, yeah.
Then you guys would agree on something.
Okay, but if it's your intention to get me to say that Ted Bundy and I would find like cause, a common cause on something, then yes. Fortunately, he's dead. Man, here's Doug in Anaheim. Doug, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I was talking to your producer about the situation going on at Disneyland right now and how it's getting a little blown out of proportion. I worked there for a number of years. I'm familiar with their processes over there, and just like you said, there's an image there, and this is something that this person knew coming in and hiring into the job. I'm sure you understand that Walt Disney wanted things a certain way, a clean cut look, and that's the way it's always been. That these rules weren't, you know, written 2 months ago.
Right.
So and the thing about this is that this cast member belongs to a particular union that Disneyland is having trouble with right now. Their contract has been in negotiation for about 2.5 years, and I think this is all being blown out of proportion for the media so that they get attention on the union. I guess they have.
What union is this, Doug? What are you talking about? Which union are you talking about?
It's Local 11. It's a union that represents the hotels, housekeeping, bell,
gotcha,
valet, and some food and beverage.
I see.
So, they've been having some trouble, and they actually demonstrated a little bit today, I understand, I saw in the news. It was surrounding this particular situation.
Were they demonstrating right in front of the park there, man, or right when you drive in?
I believe out in front of the... They were out in front of the restaurant
the
for a while, but they were also out on the main street in front of the hotel, which is a public street.
Yeah.
So they're allowed to be out there, and Disney allows it. They've had a few dozen... demonstrations during this last 2.5 year period. Disney allowed them to do it because, you know, they want to accommodate, just like they are this employee. But the thing I was talking to your producer about is that I think this is getting blown out of proportion. She was allowed she, and this is the fact that I think leads me to that, is she was going to be allowed to work, just like you said. She had the option. She had the option to work and wear this thing,
right.
But she chose to go home without pay. And I have a feeling that was probably motivated, and she was probably coached into doing that by the union, because any sign of trouble with these employees, they go straight to their shop stewards and try and figure that out, which they should. You know, if they feel they're being discriminated, they should be doing this. But these employees know good and well, when they're hired in, they go through extensive training about our heritage and the way Disney works.
Yeah, I get it, man. And everybody that goes to Disney, I mean, we've all who've ever been to Disneyland, we see character entrance. We're like, oh, wow, you guys are like actors in a theatrical production. So, right. And Disney, as I mentioned, is very, you know, we talked about the fact that they have gay night. We've talked about so many things that they've tried to do. And this scarf that she was, that they were going to fashion for her, she didn't want to wear. She had one right away. This is a combination of someone who is completely unfamiliar with American culture. Completely. I don't give a damn she's been here 5 years. And then, sure. What you're saying, being manipulated by a larger entity.
Yeah, and you know, the strange thing about it is, you know, Disney, for as well as they want to stick to their heritage and their clean-cut look, they do a very good job of it, but at the same time, they also do want to accommodate as much as they can. It's you know, Disney's image, they're very humanitarian.
Yeah.
They've got some not so great things that people can point out, but at the same time, they have one of the best human resources departments out of any company in this country. So they try their best to accommodate. But one thing that I just thought of right now is that apparently, I worked there for a long time, and they don't have any problem with people showing up on Ash Wednesday with a big smudge of ash on their forehead either. And I actually just now thought of that, and that's kind of strange too.
And I believe that they also have, Disney also has a kind of yarmulke that is Disney acceptable that you can wear.
I've never seen it.
Right. So what they're doing here with this young lady is they're fashioning this hijab for her to wear that would be acceptable. The thing that is unfortunate is that it's not necessary to wear the hijab. It is not religiously mandated on a daily basis. So she's just on Ash Wednesday. It's not even really Ash Wednesday is not religiously mandated for Catholics. But if I want to go and I want to get ashes smudged on my forehead, I guess I can show up for work at Disney and that's cool. And if I want to wear this hemp scarf, cool. But it really is up to Disney as to whether or not I, you know, am presentable enough to be dealing with the public. All right, man. Thanks for your call. I appreciate that, Doug. That's some good insight there. That's Doug. He used to work at Disneyland. And he's got the whole thing, and he laid it down there for us.
Yeah, well, talk about Walt Disney. Well, he'd have never been involved in mass murder or anything like that, you know.
Yeah, except well, they don't know if he has, you know.
No, he'd never been involved in that.
What are you guys talking about mass murder for?
Well, because that guy said Disney got an image to live up to. Then we were just thinking, had he ever been involved in that? And no, he has not.
Where would you go and get that kind of crap? Mass murder.
Because somebody said he dropped LSD.
Yeah, because like Jeffrey McDonald.
Oh, come on. If Walt Disney took acid, and I don't know whether he did or not, but if he did, he did. I mean, you know, you look at some of them cartoons, you know.
Yeah, like, I got the guy that'd have to be on acid.
I don't think you'd have to be on acid, but the fact is, it didn't mean, what are you talking about, bud? You know, you're coming up with the screwiest stuff.
You don't think the guy would be involved in mass murder?
So if Walt Disney was involved in mass murder, you'd say that puts a lie to everything he's done? Look, don't talk to me about this because I'm familiar with this. Ever since I was a little kid, man, there's a home movie of me in a stroller at Disneyland. That's how long I've been going there.
You mean like since you're a baby?
There's a home movie of me in a stroller in front of that castle, that whatever they call that.
Snow White.
The Snow White Castle? Or
Cinderella.
The Cinderella Castle, there's a whole movie. So I've been going there a long time, all right? And Disney, man, he was on TV with that wonderful world of Walt Disney color, whatever the hell that was. And that guy's whole bag, man, is, you know, fresh and...
Yeah, just like freshly, you know, freshly done.
Yeah, everything's freshly done, whatever that means. So while he was doing all of that stuff, fashions changed. You know, long hair came in, mustaches. I remember when Disney had a big hassle with guys wearing mustaches. No facial hair, no facial hair. Then they decided, well, some people could wear facial hair. Maybe it was okay in the frontier land if you were a cowboy or some jazz like that. So they had to go through all that bull crap. Did you guys ever hear about the time the hippies took over frontier land?
What are you talking about? That happened?
What?
Some hippies took over frontier land way back in the day.
Like, what'd they do?
They literally, this happened at Disneyland, a bunch, and you can look it up, Jace, if it's online. Some freaks took over Disneyland. It might have been like 1970 or 69. No, they didn't take over Disneyland. They went into Frontierland and raised a Viet Cong flag.
Are you kidding me? That's the stupidest thing in the world.
Are you kidding? What'd they do?
I guess they had to bring the cops in or something. But these freaks came in and raised the Viet Cong, the height of the Vietnam War protesting, and they raised the Viet Cong flag, you know. And then I remember there was a gang knifing there. I mean, Disney's had to put up with some stuff, but it's never been as out of control as it has been at other parks. And forgive me for saying this, but, you know, I don't want to crap all over Six Flags, but I think they actually had more problems at Six Flags and Knott's Berry Farm than they ever had at Disneyland. So they've run the gamut, and they had, I think, just all kinds of stuff, man, just weird stuff. They used to have those buckets, those sky buckets. Did you guys ever go on those?
Uh-uh.
They were great, man. They were like these buckets that went from one point of the park to the other. They took them out because people were spitting on other people. So, you know, times change, man. Times change.
I'm going to look up the part about the freaks.
Look it up. I don't know where it is, but here, Jace might have. Yippies protesting the Vietnam War invade the park August 6th. Some parade down Main Street, USA, and speak of liberating Minnie Mouse. What year was this, dude? 1970. I knew it was 1970. It was right after I got out of high school. Others take over Fort Wilderness on Tom Sawyer's Island, yank down the 15-star American flag, and raise a Viet Cong flag in its place. The protest escalates when the park is ordered closed at 7 p.m. and 30,000 guests are escorted out. Trash cans are set on fire and rocks and debris are thrown at police, blocking the main gate. Police make 23 arrests. 1970. Okay? You imagine if that happened now, people would think the world was coming to an end.
Yeah, I bet they thought the world would come to an end back then.
I don't even remember it. I remember it, but it was August of 70, so it was the summer between my senior year and my first year at PCC, and I was probably off, you know, having my own set of fun. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Why exactly did the mother slap her baby on that Southwest Airlines flight? We heard all about the opinions of Margaret Gray. What's the real story? We'll be back with that in a moment.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got a brand-new podcast up at iTunes and on our website. It's called Lloyd Teabagged by the Neighbor's Cat, Lloyd Bonafide, a wild story from May of 2006. Check out our classic Phil podcasts. Plane Go Boom is up there. All You Can Eat Negro is up there. And Blink If You're Thirsty, one of the greats. I forgot what else is up there, Bud.
I think that's it.
I thought we had five, man. That's only four. Anyway, so Lloyd and the Neighbor's Cat, Lloyd Teabag, but from May, May of 2006. So this is at least 3 years before Teabag became the standard cable news joke. All right, that's philhendryshow.com, so check that out. Mom says she slapped her 13-month-old. Remember this lady that slapped her baby? We had Margaret on last night, and she said, oh, you know, slapping kids, sometimes you got to slap them. You got to windmill your hand across their face. You know,
yeah, or go forehand or backhand and slap them.
Right. You have to do that to help equalize their emotional state so that they won't cry and upset all of the passengers before they come back and set upon you and your kid and throw you out at the nearest airstrip. So Albuquerque, New Mexico, the mother who had her 13-month-old daughter taken away by a flight attendant on a Southwest Airlines flight told police she slapped the child because it kicked her. And she was trying to teach the child that kicking is wrong. When Albuquerque police officer Dana Baldwin asked the mom about the slapping after the flight, she told her, "I haven't done anything wrong with my child. I popped her. That's such bar talk, you know.
Yeah, you'd like to pop a guy in a bar, man, not your kid.
I popped her when she kicked me, and that was it, according to Baldwin's written statement in a police report. The mother, Lee Ann Sid, C-I-D.
Well, probably, C-I-D, that's Arab.
Why do you say that?
Because of that movie. You ever see that movie, El Cid?
El Cid. No, I didn't.
Yeah, E-L-C-I-D. And he was, I think he was Arab or he was Spanish.
I know, but what do you mean El Cid, man? What is that?
Yeah, I never heard of that, man. What is El Cid?
Yeah, El Cid is a movie. You never seen it?
No, I never saw El Cid. What is that, man?
I don't know. I have to look it up. It was such a movie.
And he was an Arab.
Or either that, I think he was either Arab or he was from Mexico.
He was either Arab or he was from Mexico. Why don't you pin this stuff down, man, before you bring it up on the show? Now it's going to drive me crazy. Anyway, the mother, Lee Ann Sid, told Baldwin, the assisting officer at the scene, that she only hit her child lightly on the leg to get her to stop kicking and crying. She's done this before when she gets tired, and she'll slap me. She'll slap in toward my face and stuff, Sid said, according to Baldwin's report. I think it's because she saw my nephew do it. She slapped my sister in the face, and I guess she thinks it's okay, and I'm trying to teach her that it's not. What the hell? Rance just looked up El Cid, a Spanish hero. Charlton Heston played him in the 1961 movie El Cid, starring Sophia Loren.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that ain't an Arab, but well, how'd you ever think of that?
I think I've seen it. Maybe I saw it on late night TV, or possibly I rented it from Netflix.
Oh, man.
Man, how'd you figure, why would you rent something like that?
Because I happen to like Sophia Loren, and I won't say why.
I know why.
Yeah, me too.
All right, anyway, nevertheless, flight attendant Beverly McCurley took custody of the baby. So the woman's saying that she's teaching this baby not to slap because the baby was slapping her. So it was a slap fight between her and this kid. Two passengers on the Southwest flight weigh in on the flight attendant's actions in an interview with KOB Television in Albuquerque.
I wouldn't want any harm to my child at the same time. I wouldn't want someone to necessarily say that my discipline style is incorrect. I do think that sometimes in tight quarters, you've got to be a little more stern, you know, with your child.
Albuquerque International Sunport Police Chief Marshall Katz told CNN today and talked to CNN today and explains why the mother was allowed to continue on her flight without being arrested.
I mean, there were no marks on the baby physically based on the contact the mother had with the child. With the concurrence of the parents, the paramedics on scene, we verify the child had no bruises anywhere else on her torso. There was a long conversation with the parents, with the flight attendant and crew, and some passengers. We felt, based on the totality of circumstances, we permitted them to continue to their destination.
Here, Katz explains what led to the slapping.
The female child is 13 months old. The child was crying, a rather high tone. It appears the mom was frustrated. According to the mom, she slapped the baby on her legs, but at least one witness said it appeared to be on her face.
Mm-hmm.
There were no marks, per se, on the face or the legs, but some at least heard at least one slap take place. In today's society, things have changed. People want action to stop, no matter what it is. They thought it was inappropriate. The flight attendant intervened and stopped the action.
All right. So what happened was the baby got slapped, and then the baby, they threw the kid out. So, El Cid, huh?
Yeah, it's great.
All right, well, all's well that ends well, although that mother's explanation was that she slapped the kid because the kid slapped her. Now, I can understand, certainly, if a kid slaps you, your instinct is to go ahead and slap the kid back. What the hell, man? How grown up is that?
How are you going to... I remember that one guy on your show one time, he said it's natural when a baby cries to want to throw the kid.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and he threw the kid off a bridge.
He didn't. He was explaining why he thought some woman had. And fortunately, and this is one of the most bizarre stories you'll ever hear, and it happened a number of years ago. A woman, obviously mentally deranged, threw her baby off of a bridge, and guess what? The child survived without without a real serious injury at all. It was incredible. I don't know if she'd thrown the child when it was sitting in a car seat or the child was wrapped in a lot of blankets. I don't know what. But she threw this kid because she was going to kill herself, too. And the child was discovered uninjured in this river bottom. It was just incredible. So on the show comes, I forget who the guy, you remember who it was, bud?
Look it up. I think it was like Rudy or Bobby or Bill. I don't know, Tim.
We'll just run through all the names, bud. You'll get to it.
Yeah, it's Sid. El Cid.
That's it, El Cid. So anyway, El Cid came on the show, the Spanish hero, and said that he said that it's very natural when you hear a baby cry to want to just get rid of it. So she's walking across the bridge with her baby, and she hears the baby go, and she says, oh, geez. And she instinctively tossed the kid off the bridge. That was El Cid, huh? All right, we'll see you tomorrow night. Don't forget, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our technical director is Don Naylor, and, of course, our screener is Dan Northcraft, and our producer is Jason Rantz. This is Phil Henry. Till tomorrow, later and greater.
Gay.
Phil Henry.
Gay.